for now, if you'll grab your handout and turn in your workbook, please, to, I don't know, let me get these glasses out and see what page we're on these days. Over the page 7 and 8, we're gonna go through this session of why am I here, what can I learn, and what do I do? If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be in several places in God's Word this morning, so grab your pen, kind of get settled, if you will. We'll be a little bit in the New Testament. Some of these will be familiar to you, but I'd love for your eyeballs to fall fresh on God's Word again in our retreat time together. Grab a pen, and I'm anxious to get started. We want to just ask the Lord this morning to speak to us in some very specific ways today. I believe He has a personal word for you. Not only for the weekend, let's do a little review, matter of fact, since we've slept since last night. So last night we had two challenges. One of those challenges was what? What was the first one? We're going to what? Expect. I'll give you another run at that. We have all decided that this weekend we are going to expect something great from the Lord. Expect something. Change our mindset. And then the second challenge I gave was to ask the Lord for a what? A word for the weekend. And then I'm going to expand that even further. So as we approach God's Word this morning and all that He has to say to us, can you reach out and connect to the sweet girl next to you, please? Or the psycho girl, the sewer girl? I don't know who you came with this weekend. But let's connect, because we want to ask the Lord to speak to us. This is His time, and I want to just be sure that His presence has filled this place, has filled your heart. If you would just remove any hindrances to Him communicating with you. Listen, He talks to those who talk to Him, okay? So just remove any. So somebody needs to text your husband and say, I'm sorry for my attitude, okay? Just do it and don't hinder the move of the Holy Spirit in this place. Let's pray. Father, I am overwhelmed just being here today, and I just pray that you would fall in this place in a very real, very unusual, very unique way. As we open up your word, would you help us to identify adjustments that we might need to make in our own life, whether it be adjustment in attitude, adjustment in our actions, adjustments in our behavior, or any priorities, anything else. Lord, I pray that you would just lead our time and that we would be obedient, that we would be focused on your word today and all that you're saying to us. Thank you for your presence that I feel, that I sense, and I pray you'll lead this time exactly as you desire. In your name I pray. Amen. As we look in God's word together, we're going to be in a familiar passage. Exodus chapter 3 is the story of Moses. We're going to lay a little bit of groundwork for being in unexpected places for unknown reasons. Moses found himself in that place in Exodus chapter 3. So today, we're going to lay a little bit of groundwork. Now, let me go ahead and expand some of our challenges. I'm very big on action. Anybody with me? I want some action steps. Like, it's not going to be for us to just come in and sit in and soak. We're going to have an action plan. I like a things to do list. Anybody like that? I like to check them off. Anybody just, if you do something that wasn't on there, do you just go ahead and add it on there and check it off? I need to see some productivity. Oh, I wasn't on my list. Well, let me write it on there and let me check that off. Okay, good. I like to see some productivity. That's what I want this weekend to be about. I want it to be about the Lord speaking to us and then us putting something into action. And that's what we call obedience. Whatever it is He says to do, we're going to do it. So as we prepare for that, one of the ways that I want to expand that second challenge was ask the Lord for a word for this weekend. I also want you to ask the Lord for a word for this year. I mentioned last night that I've done that for probably 15 or 16 years now. Ask the Lord for a word for my life for the year. So I've had a couple of words over the last 15, 16 years now. I've been trying to get a fun one that entire time. I have not gotten a fun one yet, but I gave you my word for last night for this year is steel. Who's my sweet friend that gave me my steel cup? Let me see your hand. There you are right there. The Lord did a very sweet and very special thing for me through you today, and I appreciate that so much. Just matter of fact, let me just do a little side note. I meant to ask you to pray for this while we were praying. I am battling some back issues. I'm having surgery on July the 9th, so forgive me if you see me sitting down from time to time or if I need to excuse myself during fun time to go and rest a little bit. So as you think about, would you pray for me? So I've been asking the Lord for just pain-free this weekend, and when you gave me that gift, that was something sweet between you and the Lord. She gave me some things that said the scripture I gave last night, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Psalm 46:10. So anyway, special thing. It's interesting, and I love how the Lord uses us and crosses our path for divine purposes. Don't miss that. And let's not be so busy that we overlook those moments. So I've been asking the Lord and for my word. Now I'm going to take you on a little journey as well. So this year is still, but let me tell you what my word was last year. My word for 2017 and actually 2016 and 17 were connected. First time ever he's connected 2 years together. So sometimes if we'll just pay attention to what he's doing, you'll see him unfold some things in your life that you never expected. So 2016, I'm doing a conference for Lifeway. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. I did a long form, so I did 5 different workshops, and this one girl sat on the second row in all 5 of my workshops. Listen, that's too much obnoxious for anybody. I mean, please. I'm like, go to a different class. You know? So she sat in all of my classes. And so, she was taking notes, and I noticed at the end when I was lining up to talk to some ladies, she came up, and then she left the line, and she ran out. And I thought, what is going on? And then a few minutes later, she ran back in and got in line again. I thought, what is going on? So finally, she wanted to be the last one in line to talk to me. And this is what happened when she got up to me. She had something in her hand. She said, "Now, Miss Debbie, I've been in all of your workshops." And I'm like, "I know, that's way too much." So, "I've been in all your workshops." She said, "And after the third session, the Lord put something on my heart." She said, "I was in the Lifeway bookstore during the break." She said, "I was in the jewelry section, and I saw something that I was just drawn to, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to get it for you." And I'm like, "Oh, this is of the Lord. We're in the jewelry department." Yes, he did speak to you about me in the jewelry department. And then she said this. She said, "But I didn't do it." Unlike what you did. She said, "But I didn't do it." She said, "But after your last session, I ran out and I was praying the whole way that the thing I saw would still be there." And it was, because she had it in her hand. So she was telling me this long story and was saying, "Now, I want you to know this is from the Lord. This is not from me. This is just a gift from the Lord." Now, so keep in mind, this was in November of 2015. That's the time I start asking the Lord for my word for the next year. Around November, "Lord, what's it going to be for 2016? And I'm looking and I'm paying attention. And so she still has this thing in her hand. I'm like, "Give me the jewelry. You know, quit talking and give me the jewelry." And so finally she handed, I wish I'd have brought it today. Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about it. She opened her hand and it was a necklace. It was, and it said sacrifice. No, no. You take your sacrifice necklace back to the bookstore. You give me the Jubilee necklace. You give me the happy necklace, the joy necklace. Hey, let's do this. Give me the indulge necklace. Why don't you do that? How about that one for you? You know, and I'm looking at, I ask you this question. Who makes a sacrifice necklace? Who makes a sacrifice? Who gives it to somebody? "Thank you for the sacrifice necklace," said no one ever. But I knew, listen, I knew when she gave me that, ooh, I felt that twinge. Ooh, you know how the Lord does you. You know how he does. I felt that twinge. I'm like, no, this is not my word for 2016. I went home and I have a place where I meet with the Lord on a regular basis. And so I just threw it up on the counter there where I across my Bible because I'm real spiritual like that. I can't help it. I just threw it over there. But the next 3 days, in 3 completely different, unrelated ways, the word sacrifice came up. And I knew that that was my word for 2016. Now stay with me because I'm going to connect all of this. So I looked it up in the Bible and found my definition. Here's the definition of sacrifice. This is part of it from an 1828 dictionary, if you can ever really get one of those old dictionaries. Here's the definition of sacrifice in that a more stringent kind of devotion, a total abandonment to the will of God at all cost. Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing. But this is what I thought. Because early on when I was thinking, bummer, sacrifice is going to be my word. I'm not getting anything. I'm going to give everything away. I'm not getting anything. And that's not what it meant to me. It meant a total abandonment to the will of God at all cost. Semicolon. A more stringent kind of devotion. And I sat in that chair where I meet with the Lord on a regular basis. And I said, "Then bring on the sacrifice." Because the truth is, that's what I want out of my life. I want a total abandonment to the will of God. About that time, my good friend and from Shreveport, Louisiana, her name is Julie. I'll talk about her some this weekend. That woman has kept me in line. Anybody got a mentor like that in your life or someone that just gets you and knows you've been friends for some 35, 36 years now? That girl can pick up attitude on an email. You know, she'll you better change your attitude. I'm like, what did I say? So about that time, she was telling me about her word, and then I had another friend who called me up, and she said, "Well, hey, have you gotten your word?" Because there are a lot of us that do this. I hope it takes off here in New York. But in my area in church, I've been doing women's ministry now for some 20 years, so there's a lot of groups that do. A lot of women do that. And we ask each other, we hold one another accountable, and when we see a scripture that has someone's word in it, we write it out, we send it to them or text it to them, usually put it on index cards. Well, my good friend of mine called, and she's like, hey, have you gotten your word for 2016 yet? And I'm like, no. I thought I could change it. You know, I thought I could talk the Lord out of it. I'm like, no. She said, "Well, I got my word for," and I could tell she got a fun one by the way she was acting, you know. So I didn't ask her about it because I don't want to hear a fun word. I got sacrifice. I don't want to hear your word. So finally at the end, she said, "Well, do you want to hear my word?" I'm like, do tell. She said, "My word for 2016 is party." No, it is not. Not even in the Bible. So no, I'm pretty sure you're not getting a word that's not even in the Bible. Well, she found a scripture in the Message out of Psalm, something about partying. She was a party waiting to happen, you know, all year long. Wasn't even her friend. Wasn't even going to be her friend in 2016. But, you know, sometimes I say to the Lord, how does one person get party and one person get sacrifice? But I'm going to tell you something. He did a work in my life in 2016 that I thought we were done with. Till November of 2016 came. I'm starting to ask the Lord, what is my word for 2016? But I'm going to be honest with you. And if you don't mind, that's the only way I know how to communicate. It's just be real and raw. By the end of 2016 came of my word sacrifice all year long. Listen, it's a good thing I committed to sacrifice in January of 2016. It's a good thing that I defined it. I prayed over it. I committed to it. I began to sharpen it. I began to focus on it. And I began to commit that to the Lord. Because when June of 2016 came, had I not, I may have very well walked away from the things of God. I may have very well ended the call of God on my life in June of 2016. Had I not been practicing sacrifice. You know what Psalms 119:34 says? 119:34 says, "Give me understanding into your word that I might put it into practice with all my heart." And I know that scripture is talking about word, like God's word, give me understanding into your word. But when the Lord gave me that, Psalms 119:34, when my eyeballs fell on it, I knew exactly what he was saying. I need you to focus on the word sacrifice, the word that I have given you, and I need you to put it into practice. So come November of 2016, after we have worked through what happened in June, 16 was the hardest year of my entire life. I've buried my mom. I've already buried my mom. I've already buried my dad. I've buried my brother. We were born in the same year. I have buried two nephews I was extremely close to, and we've had another pretty major significant thing happen in our life that I'm going to unpack for you tonight. So I'm a little bit acquainted with grief. I'm a little bit acquainted with knowing about brokenness. But so November of 16 came, and to be honest, I wasn't excited about, let's look forward. I usually get very excited around November. Okay, Lord, what's the word going to be for next year? And I'm looking and I'm paying attention. I'm not interested at all about a word for 2017. And not only that, if I can just be real, this is exactly what I said to the Lord. I can take you to a journal. The Bible study method that I do, which I will explain in the elective, is I have God's word and I have a 5-subject notebook. That takes me through about a year. I can take you to the pages in that journal. In November of 2016, when I said to the Lord, if you want me to have a word for 2017, you're just going to have to put it in my hand because I ain't looking for it. Aren't you shocked that I'm still standing here today? That lightning has not struck me about 2 million times for this attitude. But I did, because listen, I might as well not just try to play games with the Lord. Here's the deal. I'm tired. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. And if you want me to have a word, you have to put it in my hand because I ain't got it in me. I don't have it in me. And that's all I said. I never got with my friends like we usually do. What's your word? I'm not interested in any conversations with anybody about it. So that was November 2016. We went to the Marysville, Washington area to spend Thanksgiving with my daughter and son-in-law. And as we were there celebrating Thanksgiving, my little Clark ran across the kitchen floor, loved the pitter-pat of barefoot across a wood floor. Love that thing. So he came, we were in the kitchen, and he came running across this way on the wood floor, and me and Skeeter, the two disciples, we were at the table, and Chris and Haley were at the table. We were all drinking coffee, and he came running through, and he fell. He tripped and fell. Well, Dodie and Skeeter jump up. I don't know what it is with young moms these days, but Dodie and Skeeter jump up, and we run over to him. I mean, Mom and Dad are like, whatever, we're drinking coffee, you know. And I run over. I said, baby, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm kind of giving them the stink eye, like, just baby, just fell. And I said, are you okay? What? Are you okay? Are you, Dodie will buy you something. What do you want? I can fix this. I can. No joke. He said, no joke, sidebar. I said, are you okay? I said, anything I can get for you, baby? What do you want Dodie to do for you? And he said, well, I kind of been wanting a swing set. He looked at me with his knees. He said, I kind of been wanting a swing set. I said, well, get the keys, baby. Let's go. We will be back with the swing set. And my son-in-law was good. Good thing he didn't ask for a pony. I guess y'all be going to get a pony. So I pick him up, and we're about to go get the swing set. But I'm holding him. I'm looking at his knee, and I'm holding him over the kitchen table, looking at his mom and dad, going, what is wrong with y'all? And Haley looked at me, and she said, oh, Mom, don't worry about him. He's resilient. And then she said this. That was a strange word for me to use. I said, it's come up about 3 times in about the last 3 weeks, and I'm wondering if that's not my word for 2017. Got home after Thanksgiving, went to Walmart. I'm in, no joke, in the hair care product aisle, trying to get big hair back. If y'all help me, I would appreciate it. Trying to get tease up a little bit, people, okay? So I'm in the hair care product aisle looking for my thing, and right next to the hair care product in Walmart, go to your Walmart, you will see this. It's the lotion, and there was a lotion. It popped off the shelf to me, but it's Gold Bond, and the name of the lotion is Strength and Resilience. No joke. I'm going, Then I knew it was the Lord. So I pull off the shelf and I'm going, what? There is a lotion called strength and resilience. Aren't those biblical terms? I mean, strength and resilience. Strength and resilience. And in that moment, it dawned on me. It is in my hand. Oh, no, he did not. No, he did not take my little sarcastic. You want me to have a word? You just got to put it in my hand. I guess he's like, well, we'll do. We'll do. There you go. Any questions? You know, so I'm going, I cannot, like, seriously, God, he will do this to y'all. I'm like, I do not believe. And there was a lady standing behind me. I said, this is my word for 2017. She's like, okay. I go to check out, and the lady's trying to put it in the bag. I said, no, I need to hold this. I said, the Lord put this in my hand. And she's like, okay, whatever. So I go home. I go home, seriously, explain the whole thing, you know, to the two disciples, and because he knows how this goes every year, asking the Lord. He knew my little attitude. Well, I'm not even asking. I might not get word. This might be my first year without a word. I go home, and I explain the whole thing to him about strength and resilience on the shelf, and God put it in my hand, and all. And he's just staring at me. Do you have a man? He's just staring at me. I said, you are not near as excited about this as I am. He said, well, if you had some lingerie on explaining it to me, that might be a little better. I said, do you see why I got two disciples? Don't tell him I told y'all that story because he's here. Well, if you had some lingerie, stop. So then now I go back to the place where I meet with the Lord. And y'all, you just got to do life with him. Just do life with him. So I go back to my desk, and right next, no joke, right next to my sacrifice necklace is a bottle of Gold Bond lotion, Strength and Resilience. So the next morning, so now I'm all excited. I know what my word is. Here's the definition, resilience. Here's the definition. You got to love the Lord for this. Strong enough to come back after severe bending, stretching, and other adversity, which I had in 2016. You see the connection? You see the unexpected things going on here? Strong enough to come back after severe bending, stretching, and other adversity, semicolon, irrepressible. Do you know what irrepressible means? Unable to hold down or keep back. Let me ask you a question. What's the Lord going to do with someone who is unable to be held down and kept back? Listen, the enemy thinks he can do something with people that are, if he can just hold them down and keep them back. But when the Lord calls you to resilience, to come back. So here's the funny thing. The next morning, I'm excited, and I go and meet with the Lord, the place where I meet with the Lord, and I had my little lotion there, and I pump it in my hand, and I just did, and I thanked the Lord again. Thank you for putting this in my hand. And I don't know about you, but if you can, you know, get a sense from the Lord like I do pretty much, on a regular basis, if you're communicating with Him, I know instinctively, I can know immediately. If I have said something that meets with His disapproval, I'm like, if I'm in a conversation, I'm like, excuse me just a moment. I'll go to the restroom and go like, what did I do? There have been times in the middle of a conversation, I'll have to say, you know what, excuse me just a sec. I said something that I should not have said. The Bible says in Proverbs, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. And I've been in conversations with people, and I've said, you know what, excuse me. I have just felt a caution in my spirit, but I kept right on talking, and I'm so sorry. I owe an apology to you, and I owe an apology to the Lord. I don't want to have conversations that don't edify, that don't encourage, that don't equip and lift up other people. The Bible says, if you have a word of encouragement, please speak. So I guess the Bible's true frontwards and backwards. So if you don't, why don't you shut up? Okay, no, I didn't mean it that way. It's just a paraphrase. But resilient. So that morning when I sat down to meet with the Lord and I put that lotion in my hand, I felt a little bit like I said to the Lord, what did I do? What? And then it dawned on me. It just dawned on me from the Lord. You didn't get it. Yes, I put it in your hand, but you know what you're going to do every day for 2017? You'll put it in your hand every day. Just as a reminder, every day, that I am here and I'm directing the course of your life and I care about every detail of your life. Do you see how sweet he is? I'm being sarcastic and I'm being rebellious. And I'm going to put it in my hand. He's like, you know what? I believe I will. I'll put it in your hand every day to remind you. We're going to be resilient. Because what the enemy intends for evil, God means for good. And we got to get to the good, because oftentimes the girls in Texas, listen, they quit one lap before the victory run. You know what I'm saying? Like one more lap, and that's going to bring victory. But we quit, we get tired, and I get that. I totally understand that. So I hope you can see some connections, how unexpected things are connected. Not only does it happen for unknown reasons, but they're also connected, and sometimes they're connected for reasons that He will reveal to us. So let's be sure to pay attention and ask the Lord. So that's going to be your third challenge. We're going to do a little review, so make a note of that. Actually, we'll just make that the second challenge. We're going to ask the Lord for a word, okay? But you know, for the weekend and for the year. So get with some buddies that are doing that, and y'all begin to ask each other and focus on that, build that as a part of your life. Okay, now let me show you this in Scripture about paying attention. You have your handout there on page 7. Here's one Scripture that I pray every morning when I sit down and meet with the Lord. I pray two Scriptures. I pray this one in Luke 24:45 that says He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scripture. I've already prayed that for us this morning. And the other one I pray is right under that. Now, there's two blanks there, but before you just write them in You're focusing on the two blanks. Look at me and let me give you the Scripture, and then I'm going to give you the two words to write in. Another Scripture that's important to us as we're walking our life out with the Lord is Luke 8:18 that says, look at me, be sure to pay attention to what you hear. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. I thought the same thing. Now jot in your two words. Be sure to what? Good girls, be sure to pay attention. Pay attention to what the Lord said. Okay. Now, I want to show you that in Scriptures. You're in Exodus chapter 3. I've already showed it to you there in Luke 8:18. But let me give you a familiar passage here in Exodus chapter 3. This is the story of Moses and the burning bush, okay? We don't have time to unpack all of that. If you're not familiar with that, you can read through it in the chapter of Exodus chapter 3. And here's what happened is Moses was basically, let me just paint the picture, he was over here tending the flock, he was doing his assignment, he was doing what the Lord asked him to do. But he saw a bush that was on fire and he said, this bush is not burning up, I will go over and see this. So the indication is he stopped doing this, he didn't multitask, he stopped doing this, he turned aside, you mentioned this last night, he turned aside to pay attention to what was going on in the bush. So now let's see what happened. Exodus chapter 3. Picture it. Anytime we're in God's Word, would you just engage? Would you put yourself in this situation? Feel what they're feeling. See what they're seeing. Smell the smoke, if you will. So it says, Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. When the, let's pick up in 3. So he saw the bush, and it says, "Amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go over and see this." I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Other translations say, but he turned aside. Verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had caught Moses' attention. That's why I wanted to use this particular translation, because of how it said, when he saw that he had caught Moses' attention. Another translation said, and when he turned aside to pay attention, the Lord called to him from the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. And I hope that that is your attitude this weekend. "Here I am." A lot of places you could be, a lot of things you could be doing, but you've said to the Lord, "Here I am," to get a word from you, to begin to implement some of these instructions in my life. So on your handout, I want you to jot that down. Let me ask this question. When did the Lord speak to Moses? When he what? Had his attention. I shudder to think how many times the Lord has not spoken to me in my life for the sheer fact he did not have my what? He did not have my attention. Absolutely. So jot that in on your handout today. If you want to hear the Lord speak, then turn aside and pay attention. Now, y'all can tell I'm half ADD. I mentioned that last night, and my family has diagnosed me. But not only that, am I sometimes hard for me to pay attention. I'm also a little directionally impaired. Anybody, like, I can't get where I'm going. I cannot follow directions. North and south, all that doesn't make sense. You need to tell me, look, go down to the Exxon and turn there till you get to McDonald's and then turn there. That's how I need directions. But my sweetheart, listen, you can drop that man anywhere in the United States. He instinctively knows certain highways run east and west and certain highways. You know, I don't know where I was in school, apparently chasing boys or something. I missed that whole section of school. How he knows that, I don't know. You drop me anywhere in the United States, I can find a mall. That's about all I can tell you. I can get to a mall. I can find me some chocolate and some Mexican food, and I can get to the mall. But when I moved from, when I went on staff at Prestonwood and took that position, we left Shreveport, Louisiana and moved to Dallas. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a nightmare trying to figure out my way around Dallas, Texas. And so back in those days, we didn't have Siri or navigation in our phone. You would go online to what website? MapQuest, absolutely. You go to MapQuest and you print those directions out. So I had a speaking engagement. I was in Plano, Texas, but I had to get to Denton, Texas. So the two disciples gets online, goes to MapQuest, writes me turn-by-turn instructions from MapQuest and wants me to sit down at the kitchen table to go over these directions because he knows how directionally impaired I am and how I tend to get lost. And so he was going over the directions with me, and then he had, no joke, he had in an envelope that was sealed the directions to get home. Because there may have been a time or two where I got too confused. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. And so he's trying to give me he's trying to go over the directions. I'm like, just give me the directions, I can read. I'm spiritual like that. I cannot help it. I just overly spiritual. And so I have the directions on how to get there, and he's trying to explain them to me. I'm like, I can read. And so I get in the car, and I'm reading the directions. Four turns, maybe. Major highway, about four turns, I'm going to be at the church. So I get on the major highway. I put the directions aside in the chair, and I start doing some other things. I start multitasking, doing some other things. Now, listen, I didn't do bad things. I called a lady who had been released from the hospital, who was my Bible study teacher, called to check on her. That's a good thing. I called my mother-in-law. That's points in heaven right there. Called her. Check on her. I did a couple of other things. And say, listen, hey, with church-going Bible study girls, it's not the big, ugly, bad, hairy, scary things that are going to get us in trouble. You know what? Because we're not going to do that. We're not going to be tempted by that. It's going to be the small foxes. It's going to be the loss of focus. It's going to be not paying attention. I talked about my wackadoo family last night in Louisiana. And no joke, here are the things that they are tempted by, that I'm not tempted by. So I'm never tempted to, in Shreveport, we have riverboat gambling. So I'm never tempted to take my paycheck and go down to the riverboat and gamble my entire paycheck away. Happens in my family. Never tempted to do that. I'm never tempted to just drink like a keg of beer. I mean, just one right after the other. I'm never bothered me. I'm not tempted to go on the computer and look up a naked man. Okay, whatever. I got two disciples. I got my hands full, okay? These are things that we're like, oh, I would never do that. I would never be in pornography. I would never be addicted to alcohol or to drugs or gambling. But listen, in our life, there's some addictions that have called for our attention. There's some things that have called to our attention that waste our time. Cassandra mentioned some of them earlier. She said, you know, I just vegged out or whatever on Netflix. That's a lot of times that's what we'll do. Now, I'm not saying any of that is that some big sin? No, it is not. But here's the question. I'm not saying anything that you do on that with your time and with your schedule is right or wrong. I'm not here to judge anybody, but I am here to ask you a question. Is that the best use of your time? With someone that has a call of God on your life, is that the best use of your time? I was doing a study recently on depression, doing some research. Do you know that right now in America, we are the most addicted, violent, suicidal, incarcerated, indebted, obese, and tattooed generations ever walked the face of this earth? That's what we're living in right now. And depressed was one of those because that's where the depression came in. Right now. On our watch, that's what we're dealing with. Somebody is not paying attention. Somebody's not paying attention. So I was calling my mother. So again, back to my traveling. So again, it's not big, bad, ugly things that are going to get us off track. I just put the directions. I stopped what? Paying attention. And so I'm on the road, and next thing I know, there was a sign that said, this way to Oklahoma. I'm like, what? So I pull over, you know, by the gas station. I called the two disciples. I'm like, you're not going to believe what happened. He's like, do tell. Really, like, do tell. He just waits by the phone when I leave. Because I'm going to be calling because I'm lost. I said, I'm lost. He said, baby, this is a question he asked. Rings in my heart to this very day, and that's been years ago. He said, baby, how do you get lost with directions in your hand? That ain't none of your business. Just spirituality flows out of me like that. That ain't none of your business. And he said, well, where are you? You're going to be late to this conference. What did the signs say? Let me plug them in and get you where you need to go. I said, that one says Exxon, that one says McDonald's. Would you get me to a road sign, please? So I got to the road sign. He told me where I needed to go. And to this day, that is what keeps ringing through my mind. How do I get lost with directions in my hand? If you'll just pay attention this weekend, almost every funny story that I'm going to share with you has a biblical principle to it. Almost everything has some biblical focus, some biblical meaning. It's a lesson that the Lord taught me in my life, sometimes in a crazy way, but I guess that's what it takes for me to get it. How do you get lost, Debbie, with directions in your hand? This clearly tells you, do this, don't do this, hang around these people, don't hang around these people. Here's how you use your words. The Bible says in Proverbs, words give life. Words give life. But yet in our society, we're the most addicted, obese, and incarcerated, and violent, and suicide. Somebody's not paying attention. Am I not paying attention to the direction of the Lord in our life? And that's how I have been lost spiritually in my spiritual journey, as I stopped paying attention. And here's the thing. I was doing good things, but I was not doing the thing that the Lord asked me to focus on at the time and in the moment. So let's be sure, in the beginning of this weekend, that we pay attention. That's in the Old Testament. Now I want you to flip over to the New Testament. Would you flip over to John chapter 2? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 2. I want to show this to you in another place. John chapter 2, verse 5. And I think this will set us up for a miracle. Might I get just a little glass of water or a little thing? Okay. Oh, good. Thank you. It's got a little tickle here. John 2, verse 5. Now, again, you're probably very familiar with this story. Everybody there? This was the very first miracle that the Lord ever did. We learned when I was taking some seminary classes, we learned if you really want to know about something, go back to the very first time it's mentioned in God's Word. It's called the law of first mention. If you want to know the premise for it, the foundation for it, go back to the first time it happened. Go back to the first time the Lord ever brought it up. This was the first miracle that the Lord ever did. It was at a what? Wedding. You're good. See, I think he's just partial to girls. When we get together, he wants to do something special. And so in John 2, 5, they're at the wedding. And the Bible says this. Now picture it. Put yourself at the wedding ceremony. Verse 2. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. Would you just circle that word, invited? Oftentimes we fail to invite the Lord into our circumstances or into our celebration or into our situation. Have you invited him into it? I love that, what Cassandra, you shared earlier, that finally she got to a place where she's just pouring her heart out to the Lord. She's inviting him into this 9-year journey. And I'd love to hear you sing at some point, Cassandra, but I'm going to tell you this. You got your song back. Whether you ever sing again or not, you've got your song back. And sometimes when we pay attention to the main thing that the Lord is going for, and he did a miracle for them, and I believe that if we will do what they did, it might set us up for a miracle as well. I don't want to take too much liberty with Scripture, but it could be that if we follow this basic principle, I'm about to give you a biblical principle for your life, right out of the law of first mention. If we do this, it may set us up for a miracle as well. So don't hinder your own miracle by disobedience. You're welcome for that. I'm not going to charge any extra for that. Just don't hinder your miracle by your own disobedience. So the disciples invited them to the celebration. And the wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother spoke to him about the problem. "We have no more wine," she said. "Now, we're not going to have that problem here. No, we're not going to run out of wine." I call that a no wine situation. But I do sense and I do feel that you've come to this retreat. I think you've come into this room today with problems. I certainly have. There's one in my life right now I cannot fix. I cannot write a check to fix it. I cannot make a phone call. There is not one thing that I can do to alter or to change this situation. If the Lord doesn't show up, and if the Lord himself does not come down and do something, if he doesn't do the impossible, there's nothing I can do. That's the kind of situation that they were like, okay, we have a problem we cannot fix here. Many of us have come to this room feeling the same way. And what she said, what the mother of Jesus said to those servants, I believe he's called me to say to us this weekend. Let's read it. Verse 5. "But his mother told the servants, 'Whatever he tells you to do, argue about it.'" Oh, I'm sorry. This got away with me there. It's my own paraphrase. "Whatever he tells you to do," what? Do it. I love your enthusiasm. Whatever he tells you to do. Sometimes we do something different. Sometimes if you're like Debbie Stewart, hard-headed, whatever he tells you to do, argue about it, negotiate it, question it, wait on it, ask everybody else if they think you should do that. Find out if your mother-in-law approves of it or not. You know, try to please everybody around you. The Bible says whatever he tells you to do, do it. Our prayer team has prayed that for you this weekend, that you will clearly get a word, and that's why I started last night with asking you to ask the Lord for a word. I believe he's going to give you some things to do this weekend. I think at least one. And then the ball's going to be in your court, whether you will do it or not. For some of you, it'll be a relatively easy thing. For some of you, he's been asking you to do this for years. And it may be that this is the last time you'll hear him ask, is this weekend. For some of you, he's asking for the very first time. And if you can be unlike me and get it the first go-round, you'll fast-track your spiritual journey. You'll fast-track your spiritual growth. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. All right, fill in your blank there in your biblical principle. If you want to hear the Lord speak, turn aside and pay attention. If you want a miracle in your life, whatever he says to do, do it. Okay, now flip over to 1 Samuel. I know we're in God's Word a lot. This is the purpose of a women's retreat, a Bible retreat like this. We're going to go to a passage you might not be as familiar with. So find 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9. I'm not going to read the whole story to you, but I want to highlight a couple of points. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. Find your place there. This is the story of Saul. And the interesting thing is this is what happened right before he was anointed king. Now, you remember, it wasn't the Lord's intent for him to be king. He only got to be king because the people said, "We want to be like everybody else. All the other nations have a king, and we want a king." And even though the Lord said, well, if you get a king, this is what's going to happen. A king is going to come in. He's going to take your sons and your daughters, and he's going to take your cattle. He's going to take your food, and he's going to make you work. And he gave all these derogatory, negative things that would happen if they had their own choice, if they did it the way they wanted to do it. And then they, at the end of that conversation, they said, well, even so, give us a king. And at some point, the Lord does that in their life. You know what? Okay, fine. That's what you want? Here you go. So he gave him a king. So he allowed Saul to be anointed the first king of Israel. And so this is what happened right before Saul is to be anointed. So I don't know if it may be that this weekend is the thing right before the opening of God in your life. Right before a major thing that he's getting ready to do in your life. Maybe it's something like this. Kind of a totally unexpected thing in an unexpected place that's going on. Right before. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, this is a test. This is only a test for the next chapter here, the next section in the book. Let me read it to you, 1 Samuel. Let me hit some high points. Let me pick up in verse 9. I'm going to start in verse 3, chapter 9, verse 3. One day, Kish's donkeys strayed away, and he told Saul to take the servant with you and go and look for them. You know what? I want to go back because there's one thing you need to hear. Verse 1 says this. Kish was a rich and influential man from the tribe of Benjamin. I don't want you to miss that part. Kish was a rich and influential man in the tribe of Benjamin. His son, Saul, was the most handsome man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. We're talking tall, dark, and handsome, Mr. Saul was. But keep in mind, he's the son of a rich and influential man. Now, verse 3. One day, Kish's donkey strayed away, and he told Saul, take a servant with you and go and look for them. Now, let me tell you something. That's very unusual in that day and time. If a rich and influential man lost some donkeys, he would not send his beloved son to go and look for lost donkeys. He would send the servants. But his son, his father, sent the son to go and look for lost donkeys. And I know for us, we're like, what difference does that make? Well, like, I don't know what it would be like here. In Texas, it'd be like if you lost your, I don't know, Ford pickup truck or something. I don't know. Here, I guess, if you like, you lost a subway. I don't know what it is. You lost the Statue of Liberty, okay? You got to go find that thing. So he sent him out. Kish's donkey straight away, and he told him to go find them. Verse 4. Picture it. Put yourself in the story. So Saul took one of his servants and traveled all through the hill country of Ephraim and through the land of, listed all that area. Into the he traveled a long way, okay? For sake of time, go to verse 5. Finally, they entered the region of Zuph, and Saul said to his servant, let's go home. By now, my father will be more worried about us than he is the donkeys. Mm-hmm. You see where Saul thinks? I'm all this and a bag of chips. Like, I'm more important. So he's like, I'm ready to quit. He wanted to quit. He wanted to go home. He wanted to quit working. But the servant said, you got to love the servant. I just thought of something. There's a man who lives here in the town. He was held in high honor by all the people. He's talking about Samuel the prophet. Because everything that he says comes true. Let's go and find him. Perhaps he'll tell us which way to go. Verse 7, here's Saul again. Well, we don't have anything to offer him. I mean, that's just more excuses, 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 excuses. Well, he didn't prepare very well for the journey. If now he's out of food and he doesn't even have anything to offer the prophet. He didn't prepare for the journey very well. Excuses. Back in Texas, we call that, call the ambulance. Wham, 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 whining, whining, whining. Call the ambulance. We don't have anything to offer him, Paul replied. Even our food is gone, and we don't have a thing to give him. Again, unprepared. Well, the servant said, I have one small silver piece. We can at least offer it to him to see what happens. Because in those days, if people wanted a message from God, they would say, let us go and ask the prophet. Now, verse 10, all right, Saul agreed, we'll try it. So they started into town where the man of God was. Now, let me take a little sidebar here. Keep that story in play. Jot down this scripture, 2 Corinthians 8, 10 through 12. Somewhere in your notes, this isn't even in the handout, but the Lord is just pumping this into my heart, so I'm pumping it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10 through 12. Look it up later in your time with the Lord. Do you remember when Saul said, we don't have anything to give him? And then the servant's like, well, we have one little small silver piece, we'll give him that. This is what 2 Corinthians 8:10 through 12 says. Here's my advice about what is best for you in this matter. I suggest you finish what you started a year ago. For your readiness, desire, for your readiness, enthusiastic to desire it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For the gift is accepted according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. I don't know about you, but oftentimes in life, I listed all the things I didn't have. Lord, the reason I won't be able to obey you, the reason I can't do this is because I don't have this. I don't have this. I don't have a dad who cares about me. I don't have a mom. She already died. Lord, so I'm not interested in what you don't have. Many times, not every time, but many times he does not ask you for what you don't have. He asks you for what you do have. Now, hey, make no mistake. Every now and then, he's going to ask you for the impossible. He's going to ask you for what you don't have. And if you will respond favorably, he will give that to you to give back to him. What you don't have. Wasn't interested in that. So that's what he said. Well, they'll take the small silver piece. So they did, and they go into town. Let me finish the story. They go into town, and they find Saul. They find Samuel. Saul finds Samuel, and he says to him in verse 17, when Samuel noticed Saul, This is so intriguing to me. This is so just crazy to me how the Lord works. When Samuel, the prophet, was walking along, when he noticed Saul, the Lord said, so the Lord spoke in Samuel's heart, that's the man I told you about. He will rule my people. Question. When did the Lord tell Samuel that? Absolutely. Whenever Samuel was meeting with him, that's when. Whenever Samuel gave him some time and attention, maybe when Samuel pulled up to the regular place where he meets with him, whenever Samuel was talking to the Lord was talking back to Samuel. Here's a biblical principle for us. As we open up our lives and remove obstacles of communication, the Lord will reveal some things to us. And I love that. He told Samuel at some point, maybe the previous day, I think it said, Saul noticed, he said, that's the man I told you about. He will rule my people. So Samuel and the Lord had a conversation about Saul that Saul didn't know anything about. So if you meet with the Lord, hey, he'll give you a heads up about some things that are happening tomorrow. Not always, but sometimes. Okay, so Saul approached Samuel at the gateway and he said, can you please tell me where the prophet's house is? Well, apparently Saul did not meet with the Lord the day before because he's looking the prophet in the face and does not know who he is. Unlike Samuel, who was looking Saul in the face and the Lord has already said, that's the man we were talking about just yesterday. So Saul's clueless. I am the prophet, Samuel replied. Verse 19. Then picture this. Go on up the hill ahead of me to the place of sacrifice and we will eat there together. And in the morning, I will tell you what you want to know and send you on your way. Here's what Saul wanted to know. Saul wanted to know where those donkeys were. Saul wanted to know why he was in an unexpected place for an unknown reason. I'm out here looking for donkeys. I don't even know why I'm out here. I can't find the donkeys. He wanted to know something. And so Samuel said, I'm going to tell you what you want to know. And one of the funniest scriptures in all the Bible is verse 20. And don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. Yeah, he thought the whole thing was about donkeys. But here's the very next verse. But I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all of Israel's hope. Do you see Saul? Saul made the whole thing about donkeys. But here's what Samuel like. He's like, look, don't even worry about donkeys. It's not even about donkeys. You're on a little donkey detour. That's all in the world this is. Anybody but me on a little donkey detour. I think it's about something else. And the Lord's going, child, I'm just using 3 donkeys to try to get you to a different place. But you know what? You're trying to quit the whole entire way. You keep trying to go back because you don't want to be looking for donkeys. That's not how you want to spend your time. This is a donkey detour that led to his destiny. Don't quit on your donkey detour. You're welcome. Fill in your blank there. 1 Samuel, verse 9, chapter 9. Here's an application point for us. Keep looking. Keep looking. Saul wanted to give up. He wanted to stop looking for an assignment that his father, if you will, are you flipping all this to the spiritual side? His father had sent him on an assignment. Whether he liked it or not had to be irrelevant. But oh, he developed a little attitude about the assignment that the Lord had given him. All along the journey of this assignment, he kept trying to quit. But thankfully, he had someone encouraging him to continue doing what the Lord had asked him to do. And so he finally gets to the place, and now the prophet is finally letting him know, here, yes, you're in an unexpected place, but it doesn't have anything to do. The unknown reason, it doesn't have anything to do with donkeys at all. This has to do with your destiny. It's about your destiny, child. It's not about donkeys. And so that you can finish reading the rest of that, but how that unfolds, how that begins to unfold in Saul's life. But that's the principle. I want you to keep looking. Keep looking, and then fill in the blank. His detour, matter of fact, put that donkey detour, his donkey detour, because that sounds even like less relevant, not just his detour. His donkey detour led to his destiny. Be sure to just drop that in. His donkey detour led to his destiny. Don't quit on your donkey detour. Now, somewhere in there, in some of that space there, I want you to write a definition of a word. This was the very first word that the Lord ever gave me when he began to enlighten me, I guess, if you will, on asking the Lord for a word for the year. That particular year, the Lord gave me the word providence. Jot that word down, providence. And I'm going to give you the definition. And I think y'all are going to talk about this in a small group. I think this is one of the questions that I gave. This was so important to me. Look at me, and then I'll give you the definition to write it down. Here's the definition of providence, and you will see why it's important to be praying for God's providence. You'll see why it's important to develop providence, to focus on providence in your life. Providence, when I looked it up in that old dictionary, 1828, I think it is, it defines words in spiritual meaning, unlike way before Webster ever came along. Here's the definition of providence: God's divine care, control, and guidance over a life, situations, and circumstances, semicolon, making you ready for future events. You see providence in play? You see providence in play for Saul? Okay, jot this down. Let me give it to you. Or go down, maybe since it's a little long, go up to your last page. There's a notes page. Go to the very last page, the back, and jot down this definition, because I want you to be praying providence in your life, praying for God's providence in your life. Okay, here's the definition. Providence is God's divine care, control, and guidance. God's divine care, control, and guidance over a life, situations, and circumstances. God's divine care, control, and guidance over a life, situations, and circumstances, semicolon, making you ready for future events. Events. I'm sorry, it's Southern drawl. Events. Making you ready for future events. That's why it's important to be asking for providence. Okay, so let me give you the third challenge for this weekend. So the first challenge is we're going to ask the Lord. First challenge is we're going to come expectant. We're going to change our perspective. We're going to be expectant. The second is we're going to ask the Lord for a word. Here's the third challenge for this weekend. It's 20 minutes a day for the rest of your life. Third challenge, 20 minutes a day for the rest of your life. And this is what I mean by that. That from this day forward, I hope and pray that you would, here's your application, you would commit to spending at least 20 minutes a day with the Lord for the rest of your life. Now, let me ask you a question. If you began doing that, do you think that your life would change? We all agree to that, but I'm not going to dare ask you today, raise your hand if you've spent 20 minutes a day with the Lord for the last 7 days. I'm not even going to ask. Because we know that the enemy will, the minute you say this weekend, I'm going to commit to spend 20 minutes a day with the Lord for the rest of my life, the minute you hit those double doors, the enemy's going to say, well, we will see about that. Anybody? Anybody? All hell break loose. So 20 minutes a day for the rest of your life. Now listen, we all agreed that our lives would change. I'm not saying our circumstances change. Think back to the definition of providence. I'm not saying our situations are going to change if we spend 20 minutes a day. Would you please point to the thing that's going to change if you spend 20 minutes a day with the Lord? This will change. And this is what he is after. We want him to be after all these things. And his focus, his intent is to be after this thing. To keep this thing in line. 20 minutes a day for the rest of your life. I hope that you'll make that a challenge. And listen, if you miss one, Don't go, oh, I knew I couldn't do it, because that's what the enemy's going to say. I told you would never be able to do it. Here's what you do. You just stick it to the devil and show up the next day. Well, now I'm back. Now what are you going to do? When you miss one, don't take some roller coaster guilt ride or anything. You just show up the next day. You just keep showing up. Don't be a no-show. When I I worked in physical therapy before the Lord called me into women's ministry. And as the office manager, we would have a schedule. We'd see about 40 patients a day. And every day at the end of that day, we would enter in their treatment that day. Something had happened in their life. Again, every story that I tell is going to have a biblical meaning. Something happened in their life. Something broke. Something was broken, an arm, a hip, a leg. Something was burned. Something was out of joint. Something was causing pain. Something wasn't working right. And they would come to physical therapy. And we had a treatment plan for that problem. And at the end of every day, every patient would have one of three things next to their name. They would have a check, which means they came, they showed up, and they received the treatment plan that was intended to make them better or to heal them or to fix the problem. Some of them had an X by their name, but then it would say they're sick today or they rescheduled to Thursday or whatever the problem was. But it indicated to us they didn't come today, but they will be here. They haven't quit on us. They will be here tomorrow or whatever the scheduled date. But then there were some by their name that said NS. What does that mean? No show. They didn't call, didn't show up, didn't let us know what was happening. We had a treatment plan for them that would help them to be better, that would help them to get healthy and to heal. But they didn't come get their treatment today. And we don't know what happened. We don't know if they're coming tomorrow. We don't know if they'll ever be back. Listen, with the Lord Jesus, don't be a no-show. He has a plan for you. He has a little treatment plan for you in your 20 minutes that you need to be healthy, to be healed. But how many times do we just forfeit the things that we need? I mentioned I'm going through some back problems, and so it's kind of been since January. So I've done pretty much everything that I can, so surgery is the last option. So through that process, when I've gone to various doctors and I've had MRIs and X-rays and all kind of tests and everything and kind of identified the problem, they have let me know about some things that I need to be incorporating and some things that I need to be changing in my life, things that I was not even aware of that could affect back pain and some disc, degenerative joint disease and all kinds of things that got going on. I had no idea that the food that you eat, how much that could impact. And one of the things that they asked me to do was to reduce my sugar. So I said to them, no. No, I didn't know that. I want my cupcakes. Do not make this about cupcakes, okay? This is about my back pain. This is not about cupcakes. But I'll never forget when I walked into one doctor's office. He was a specialist in his field, and so he came highly recommended, and I went to see him. And this is how I knew I hit a new level in life. I'm 53, so I'm in this new season of life. Raise your hand if you're over 50. Okay, then y'all are going to totally identify. The rest of y'all, heads up. Okay, heads up. My mother died when she was 40, so I did not get to watch her mature in age or anything like that, so I didn't know. I didn't know when you hit about 50 that your mind and your body no longer agree on things. Anybody? I didn't know that. I didn't know that I'm going to have a 2-inch hair grow on my chin overnight. Didn't know. Hey, give a girl a heads up. Tell somebody. If I need to travel with tweezers, tell me. You're going to have hair growing at your face. Okay. So here's how I knew I hit this new level. I'm an old lady. I'm officially an old lady. The guy walks in, the specialist in his field, neurosurgeon, walks in, and I look at him and I'm thinking to myself, what are you, 15? You know, have you even graduated anything? You know, what are you going to tell a 53-year-old woman? I will snap you like a twig. Hit a little bitty skinny thing. Telling me I need to change my behavior, I will snap you in half. And so, but he was telling me some of these things, but this is what he said. And matter, I didn't write this down. I wasn't planning to tell you this, but this is basically what he said to Ms. Stewart. At this age and what you have, at your age, no, he did not say that, but he did. At your age and with what you have going on, you now have things working against you. And you're going to have to work just to maintain. But if you want to improve, you're going to have to improve your level of work Listen, I had all manners of weights and exercise on the ball. I do not know who created exercising on a ball, but I hate you, okay? I hate you. But this is what he said, because he's a little smart. He's a little smart, smart aleck, little sarcastic thing, smart as a whip. And he said this, now, Ms. Stewart, I've given you four things that you need to do before, and if these don't help, then surgery is going to be your only option, but let's try everything. And then he said this, but I'm not going to go home with you today, Ms. Stewart. And I'm not going to follow you around your house and make sure that you're doing these things that I'm asking you, that I'm recommending, that I'm telling you, if it can be improved, these things will be a part of that improvement process. I'm not going to follow you around, and I'm not going to check up on you. I'm not going to call you. All of this, your healing is going to be in your court. And I mean, the Lord was just pumping in my heart, child, your spiritual healing oftentimes is in your court. It's in your own court. But we like to blame everybody else. We like to blame everybody else. Now, there gets a time, like kind of where I am physically, there gets a time where the Lord has to come in for some intervention. Okay, you've done everything I've asked you to do. Good girl. But now we're at a point that requires some divine intervention. Divine intervention for our healing to take place. Well, okay, so let me give you just a few more. Now, I'll let you unpack the rest of this with the Lord in your 20 minutes a day, now that hopefully you've committed to that. You'll get up in the morning, or maybe when you start on Monday, and say, okay, where do I start? What do I do? I'm going to give you a lot of places to start. So you can first of all, finish reading 1 Samuel. The second one is Luke chapter 5 on your handout. Luke 5 is the story when they were fishing all night and they did not catch anything. Do you remember the story? Okay, well, go back and you can read Luke chapter 5. And they were out fishing, and then the Lord came and said, what have y'all caught? And they said, we fished all night, didn't catch anything. And the Lord said, well, throw the nets on the other side. And I think it was Peter that was like, we have been fishing all night. I mean, he's a fisherman. My husband's a fisherman. He came with me. Matter of fact, he was telling the girls at breakfast this morning, he fished in a little pond on this property and caught 20 bass in about 30 minutes yesterday. The man can fit. If there are fish in a pond, he will find them. And he caught 20 in about 30 minutes, just had the time of his life. What I'm trying to say is fishermen pretty much know how to do one thing. I mean, like, they know how to fish. They know what bait to use, in what kind of water, in what kind of weather. He didn't use the bait that he uses in Texas up here. He used a different kind of bait, different things. And so Peter's the fisherman. Lord, we've already done this. We've tried this, and it didn't work. Like, that's not the answer, to throw the nets on the other side. But I love what he said. He turned around and said, but at your word, we will cast our nets on the other side. Or my paraphrase, at your word, we will try again. We will keep trying. That's what I want you to fill in the blank. Luke chapter 5, keep trying. Keep trying. Don't give up. Keep trying. There's a scripture in Genesis 41:52 I've listed for you. God makes you fruitful in the land of affliction. God can, when you're not catching fish, he can make you fruitful. I love how Peter said, but at your word. We've already said we're going to ask the Lord for a word, which might be one word, it might be a phrase, it might be a principle, it might be a scripture. At your word. Like, whatever you say, we're going to do. We'll try it again. So we're going to keep looking from 1 Samuel chapter 9. Well, we're going to pay attention. And then we are going to do whatever he asks us to do. And then we're going to keep looking. We're not going to give up on our detour. And then we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep trying, even though it's not worked for a while. Luke 1:45. Look at me. This is my life verse. I have a lot of verses. Every year I have verses that I try to memorize. Here's my life verse. Luke 1:45 says this. Blessed is she who believes what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Let me ask you a question. What's the prerequisite for you in that? What is your part of that scripture? Blessed is she who believes what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. There are two parts that are in your court. What are they? First, you need to what? Believe. Believe. The second part that is your responsibility, it's in your court, you have to look a little deeper. Blessed is she who believes what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. What's your second part? Listening. Listening. What the Lord has said to her indicates she was listening to his voice. She was following his instructions. So maybe listening, maybe you want to add obeying to that as well. Blessed is she who believes what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Luke 1:45, keep believing. That's your verse. Keep believing. Romans 12:12 is listed for you. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. Also jot down 1 Thessalonians. I saw this on the day before I left. I'm studying through Thessalonians right now, 1 and 2. done Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and this is one of the things that I have prayed for you. I loved this. Oh my gosh, there was so much in here that I wanted to say. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, verse 6, be on your guard and not asleep like others. Stay alert and be sober. Night is the time for sleep and the time when people get drunk. But let us live in the light. Let us think clearly, protected by the body of armor of love and faith and wearing our helmet of salvation. Verse 11, so encourage one another and build each other up with these words. Verse 16, always be joyful. Keep on praying no matter what happens. Always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So some of you are sitting here today going, I wish I knew what God's will for me was. I wish the Lord would just reveal His will. I'm trying to find God's will like it's some weird thing that's out there. Like, find it if you can. You know, no. He's saying, here's the will of God for your life. I want you to be joyful. I want you to keep on praying no matter what happens. Always be thankful, for this is the will of God for you. And verse 19, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. You know what stifle means? If you look that up in the original language, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek. So our English version of our Bible is translated from Hebrew and Greek and some Aramaic. But Hebrew and Greek, which is interesting because Greek and Hebrew are very specific about their words. And English is not so much. I can say I love my husband, I love chocolate, and I love Jesus. I'm using one word, love, for really three very different things. But in Greek and Hebrew, they don't do that. And so the word here for stifle basically means, the English definition would be to suffocate, to stamp out, to remove. If you're going to stifle the Holy Spirit, you're not going to listen to Him. You're not going to be in His presence. You're going to suffocate what He's trying to breathe in, what you're trying to breathe in, what He's the fresh wind that we have prayed. So don't suffocate. And verse 24, I love this. This would be a great memory verse for you for this weekend. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. We have some index cards I'll talk about in just a second. I almost forgot that. God who calls you is faithful, and He will do this. On those things that He's asking you to pay attention to, that He's asking you to keep believing and keep looking and keep trying. If you're sitting there going, well, how am I going to possibly do this? I'm exhausted and I don't want to do... You know how... The 7i says the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this thing. And 1 Thessalonians says, here's how you're going to do it. The God who calls you is faithful, and He will do this thing through you, basically, is what that means. All right, last point for today is this. It's from Elizabeth Elliot. This is the quote that just has rocked my world, and it keeps me kind of in track. It keeps me in line when I want to do a test on, and am I paying attention? Am I still looking? Am I still trying? Am I still believing in the unexpected places? And have I not give up? Have I not quit? This is her quote. God's sovereign intervention awaits the faithful discharge of your responsibility. And then she said this, just do the next thing. Just do the next thing. Just be faithful to the next thing. For some of you, the next thing might be changing yet another dirty diaper. That might be the next thing. What you're doing in that is you're not quitting. You're not giving up. You're continuing to keep put one foot in front of the other. You're keeping move forward movement. Just do the next thing. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word that has challenged us, that has corrected us in some places that needed to be corrected. And Lord, that I sense, I'm watching faces, and I know that you are giving some things that we need to do, or maybe some things that we need to stop doing, whatever the case might be. So I pray that in this room you'll find women that are faithful, that are obedient, that will commit to do these things. Lord, may it be so, because You make that so in our life. Your power will equip us to do what's hard to do. In Your name I pray. Amen. Okay, and I've been asked to speak a little bit about what the resources are about. I failed to do that last night. I'm sorry. So I have one book, 20 Minutes a Day for the Rest of Your Life. This is actually a Texas-approved prison resource. We do prison ministry at we have now for a number of years. We've taken tens of thousands of these into prisons all across the state of Texas. When you buy one, it enables a woman who's incarcerated to also receive one. It has five or six different Bible study techniques, different dynamics, different methods, different concepts for you to incorporate in your time with the Lord to get your most out of your Bible study time. Even if you've been walking with the Lord for a number of years, this will bring some new thoughts and some new fresh things to that time with the Lord, just to expand and increase, just some ideas that you might want to try. So it'll take you from the basics all the way down to the expert level. The Bible study, personal Bible study method that I use is called the FLAP method. It's just something that I named it. I learned it at a Bible study workshop taught by Ann Graham Lotz. That's Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz. She taught a Bible study workshop years ago. And from that, I developed what works for me. And that's what's important about this. This helps you to find what works for you. You know, a lot of people don't go, oh, that's the method that I do, or that's the method I do. But you go, you know what, I like this part of this method that she shared, and you know what, I like this part of the second method. You put together what works for you, and I put together the FLAP method. So from the FLAP method, FLAP stands for facts, lessons, application, and prayer. That's my four-step Bible study method, FLAP, facts, lessons, application, and prayer. From that method, I wrote 21 Bible study lessons. So if you're a Bible study teacher, you got 21 ready-made messages right here. But it'll take a passage of God's Word, very much like what I've done today, 1 Samuel. If we had time, we would have unpacked all of those. We would have unpacked Luke chapter 5 and Luke 1:45. Unpacks those, pulls out the biblical principle, and then helps you find the personal, practical application. So a little homework at the end of each chapter. So that's 20 lessons. So this is 6, this is 10. Then there's a Bible study journal. I mentioned my personal Bible study journal. There's a instruction page on how to create a Bible study journal, how to start, what do you do on the very first page. It explains all of that here, how to start listening to the Lord. It says your Father would like a word with you on the front. So if you start your method, you'll start with your journal. That's 4. And then as you are studying God's Word, invariably He's going to bring out scriptures for you that are going to pop off the page, for you to memorize, for you to practice, for you to put into your life. So here's an index card. You're going to write those on here. This says the unfolding of your, this says the word of is a lamp unto my feet, a light into my path. The Bible says the unfolding of your word gives light. Not the unfolding of your iPad, not the unfolding of your phone. And what I'd like to start, I'm trying to start a trend. I want y'all to get on this with me. We're running this through the state of Texas. That when we're at red lights or when we're waiting in line at the post office or we're waiting to pick up children or the line at the grocery store, that we don't pick up our phones and say, oh, who liked me? Who shared me? Who gave me a heart or whatever? We pick up our scriptures and we just start running through some scriptures. No joke, I was in Walmart, did this just a couple of weeks ago, and I had my scriptures and I was in 1 Thessalonians memorizing a particular scripture. And I guess I kind of said it out loud a little bit, and so I was saying that loud, and all of a sudden I felt a tap, tap, tap on the back of my shoulder. And I turned around, and I'm still holding him, and she said, could you say that again? And so I said, well, I'm trying to memorize it. So I said, but here it is. Let me read it to you. She said, I need one of those. She said, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. And she explained to me something going on in her life. Let me say, unexpected places for unknown reasons. This is for, or you can, I did a retreat special. Everything, one of everything is 27, and it includes a DVD of some teaching from Acts 27 on Finish Strong. So all of those are out at the table. And I'll just be there at break. Please don't take your group time to come. And I'm not going to be selling at group time. So at break time and before and after lunch and free time and that sort of thing. And if I'm not there, we'll be back. I've got someone helping me there as well. Okay, thank you.